Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, number 732. The name is Saha, or Sa. It doesn't seem like a name. Sa is one of the most common words in Sanskrit. It means he or it. It doesn't sound like a name. It sounds like a pronoun, not a name. It's not an indefinite pronoun. We have indefinite pronouns. Anyone, something. But sa refers to something, an indefinite pronoun, specific, or someone specific. Now, if we take, sa can be translated into English as he or it, either. So it can be taken either personally or impersonally. And naturally, because for the impersonalists, to take the unnatural stance of denying and defying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so deeply encrusted in their personality, engraved in their personality, that it seems natural for them to take it impersonally. But this is Vishnu Sahasranama. Vishnu is a person. Now, the impersonalists, they deny personality. Even in the glaring obviousness of Vishnu Sahasranam, glorifying Vishnu, ultimately they want to deny the personality and take Sa to be impersonal. But no, it's he. It is he. He is the one. Who are we talking about? It is he. It is Vishnu who is glorified by these thousand names and by so many other names. How? What else is there? How dull-headed can you be to deny the personality of he whose personality is glorified in a thousand names and a million names and a zillion names? It's he. It's not you. You want to take that I am Narayana. You're not Narayana. You're a rascal for even thinking that you can be or that you are. Or to, you want to rise up to the platform of Narayana or pull him down to your platform, but there's no way. You are not. You can never be. Vishnu Sahasranam is eternal, as Vishnu is eternal, as the Vedas are eternal. He is eternally supreme. We are eternally subordinate. Related with him, yes. Inseparable from him, yes. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. We are inseparable from him, but we are not him. It is he. He is the one. We just had the name. Ekaha. And the impersonalists take that to be something impersonalist. But it's no, not. Eko bahunam yo vidatati kaman. He is the one. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after returning from Gaya, after being initiated in Krishna mantra, he came back and he resumed his teaching in his school, but then he explained every word, every letter to refer to Narayana. Every letter is dependent on him and ultimately indicates him. So how many names does he have? How many letters are there? And every letter can be understood in innumerable ways to indicate him. He is everywhere. He is in everything. Everything points to him for one who has the eyes to see. Those eyes are given by hearing about him from those who are his devotees. So sa, we may think, well, it's just just something to fill up the meter or something. No, it's not. It's very, very, very important. It's he, not we. It's he. We, yes, we exist eternally. Natve vaham jatu nasam. Natve natvang ne me janadi paha. Nachaiva. There's on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna said, yeah, you see all these kings? They've always existed. What do you mean they always existed? I was born, you were born, they were born, they'll die, we'll all die. No, we all existed. We're all eternal. The bodies you are seeing are not the reality. We're all eternal. But we're all eternally different to Narayan also. He is the one who is supreme. Have I said that 3 or 4 times already in the course of this short talk? I should say it again. It is he. He is Bhagavan. He is Purushottama. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not me. Not you. It is he. He alone. Other ways this name can be understood, the common meaning of the word saha, he or it. But other ways, the commentators have described Sri Parashara Bhatta takes it to mean that he is the one who gives knowledge, who spreads knowledge. Svavaya, sva vishaya gyanam syati iti saha. He gives knowledge about himself. That's actual knowledge. Krishna comes to this world to give knowledge of himself. We have so much knowledge in this world, eh? Huge libraries, so much information. But without knowledge of Krishna, it's like a huge collection of zeros. Put that one, Krishna. Note the name is there, Krishna. Ekaha, Naikaha, one, not one. There's so many, and then there's Anekaha, many, and then sa, va, ka, all these names are coming up. But he is, actually that's also, he can also be seen as shunya in one sense because he's devoid of any bad qualities. But he is intrinsically reality. He comes to give knowledge of himself. There's only one thing missing in this world. Well, there's so many things missing. There's love and there's compassion. And there's understanding and there's so many things are missing. But only one thing is missing, which is knowledge of Krishna. And he comes to give that. If we just know Krishna, that's all. It's all we need to know. He is Krishna. I'm not Krishna. He is supreme. I'm not supreme. He loves me. I don't love him. What's wrong with me? Something's missing. There's a syllogism. We're missing. We're missing one factor. That's what's missing. He is there. We're meant to love him. Very simple to understand. And he explains it. And he explains it in so many complex ways because people, if you just tell them Krishna's the supreme, someone supreme, everything's running on. Must be someone who's running it on. That person is Krishna. We can just accept it. But no, we're so complex and we have We're so proud of our big brains. We want to understand everything in so many details and try and understand down to the smallest, most subtle details. So Krishna gives all the Vedas. And then beyond the Vedas, there's conventional knowledge, Lokic, and people build up huge, huge libraries, and then at some point that's all destroyed. When civilization is destroyed, the libraries get burned. That's in Kali Yuga, one after another. Where? In Takshashila, in Nalanda, in Constantinople, the libraries are burned because the basis of the civilization is knowledge. But without knowledge of Krishna, it's an empty civilization. We think, oh, so great, big civilization, so much art, philosophy, science. The most revered person of the modern era, Albert Einstein, his knowledge, his intelligence. He didn't know Krishna. We know. We're more fortunate. A child can know. He comes to give knowledge. Thank you, Krishna. Even this Parashara Bhatta, of course, he represents the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So they say that even from his childhood, he was giving knowledge of his supremacy to everyone. And as I was just discussing the other day, from the prayers in the Divya Prabandhams of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya of Periyalva, Vishnu Chitta, it describes the mood of a parent toward Krishna in Vrindavan. But from this Vaikuntha perspective, in which you're saying, oh, what a beautiful little boy, he's so nice, he's so sweet, he's so cuddly, he's cute, he's the one who's going to who's going to speak Bhagavad Gita, he's the one who's going to kill all the soldiers, he's the one who marries Satyabhama. So they have the idea that Krishna, even in his childhood in Vrindavan, gives knowledge of himself, of his supremacy, because they're in Vaikuntha Bhav. And we're not saying it's not true. But as far as we're concerned, we are initiated into the Vrindavan mood. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are, in which, yeah, there is knowledge of Krishna. He does give knowledge of his greatness, but he's not really trying to do that so much. It pops up time to time. It's hard to hide that he's the Supreme Lord. But the Vrajavasis, they see it all the time. He's so great, but it just doesn't click because of their intense love for him, seeing him as a child. A similar meaning of the name Saha, he who is the final authority on all knowledge. He brings all knowledge comes to a conclusion when we come to Krishna. Searching, searching, searching. There is the idea among agnostic academicians that we have to be agnostic because we can't know everything. We can never come to a fully fixed conclusion about anything because we never know. We may find our ideas incomplete at some point, and then we may have to revise them because they had that experience so many times. The biggest shock from which science has not recovered came about 100 years ago, when it was supposed that what is now called Newtonian physics or classical physics, which it was supposed that these laws of motion and energy, they describe everything in the everything that is to be known about energy within the universe is described by these rules. And then they found, well, they don't work. And then they had to come up with different theories of relativity and quantum theory, and they still didn't get it worked out. It opened up a big can of worms, a big Pandora's box, which they're still trying to sort it all out. And they're probably more bewildered than they were 100 years ago, because the more they find out, the more they get, the more questions it are raised. So they're sure that there's no end to knowledge. And then you may think that now we got it all worked out, but then something else may come along and you find out, well, no, we didn't get it all worked out. They lost their faith in their ability to know everything, but at the same time they think that no one can know everything, but all you have to know is Krishna, that's all. Yomam eva samudho janati purushottamam sa sarva vid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. One who knows me, Krishna says, as the Supreme Personality of God, it knows everything in all respects. It knows everything? Yeah, well, all that we need to know. We don't need to know how to work out complex mathematical equations, pages and pages of equations to show that whatever we take to be pratyaksha, obvious perception, is actually not. Actually, most we take this to be a solid, something solid. But if we look at it from the atomic level, if we believe in atoms, is it an atom or is it a wave or is it a particle? Well, it's mostly all empty space, right? And we got the mathematics to prove that. That's what you have to do. If you come up with a theory in physics or astronomy, you have to have the mathematics to prove it all. Yeah, so do you, okay, Krishna, it's he. Okay, so does that qualify me to speak on astrophysics? Does anything qualify anyone to speak on astrophysics? Yeah, we can speak Bhagavatam 5th canto. Who will believe that? Ah, Vaishnavs. They all believe. So he's not... We just accept Krishna. He knows everything. We know Krishna, then we know everything. That's all. His knowledge is independent and unique. Janmadhyasa yatam vyaditara tas chaste svabhigna swarat. He creates, maintains, and destroys everything. He's conscious of everything directly and indirectly. Where did he get this knowledge from? Who taught him? Did he discover it? No. It's concomitant with him. Eternally. The Vedas are eternal. They're called apaurusheya because no one composed them. But at the same time, they emanate from Narayana and they're non-different from him. No one composed them because it's knowledge of him which is completely inherent in him. He is the object of that knowledge. He is that knowledge. He's the one who can give that knowledge. See, all this is conveyed by one little syllable, sa. And there are seeming so many people in society, mostly when we think of the big, big brains of society who have shaped civilization, mostly we're the Western civilization, that means civilization. There was a TV series years ago on BBC called Civilization, and it was all about Western civilization. It was not about Indian civilization or Chinese civilization or the various civilizations that have been in Africa. Civilization means Western civilization. So many men of knowledge, you know, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and Galileo, Isaac Newton, Francis Bacon, Leonardo da Vinci, Albert Einstein, Niels Bohr. Big, big brains. They're all Westerners, right? And when they think of people of knowledge, even here in South India, here even Tamil Nadu, most people, they don't even heard of Ramanujacharya. Ramanuja. Oh, yeah, he was a mathematician. That mathematician, he was from an Iyengar family, a Vaishnav family. He was named after that Ramanuja, the great Acharya, who is named after Krishna. It's one name of Krishna, Ramanuja. It's also a name for Lakshman. So they don't know what knowledge is there. Even Indians don't know how much knowledge is there in their own tradition. There's a conspiracy going on to minimize that. But even despite all these people being so highly regarded, even today, hundreds of years after their deaths, in the case of some of the names which I mentioned, why are they so much lauded? Why are they considered so highly? These geniuses, called geniuses. And definitely, intelligence is far more than mine or yours, unless you happen to be up in that region of intelligence. Matasmriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Krishna gives intelligence. He takes it away. Einstein, what happened to him? Did he become a frog or a dog or that lizard clucking away in the background? He couldn't bring his intelligence with him. So, but the effect of these super intelligent people has affected human civilization, if you're in this tiny little span of time which we call the last 2,000 years. Civilization really began, 3,000 years ago, according to Western mythology. So these people have profoundly influenced more than the Napoleons and even the Hitlers, the whole way of, that we think of the world, how we perceive the world, and the very fact that I am speaking and it's being recorded and it goes all over the world, that's possible because of the efforts of many great scientists, most of them not very well known, who have done all kinds of research, building on the contributions of the super greats like Newton, Einstein, Heisenberg, Niels Bohr, and so many others. So these persons, these are great knowledge, no doubt, in one sense. But they themselves, those who are really the big, 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 big genii, geniuses, they themselves know if they're really bright, they're really intelligent, they know, they have some insight into how little they know. To know, if one's actually in knowledge, he can begin to realize how little he knows, seeing how much there is to know. And even if one is an expert in a certain field, just like Einstein was an expert in various fields in physics, but even his work has been developed and built upon. So it's not that he gave the final word on anything. Isaac Newton, who was highly lauded in his own day, he said that I feel like a boy playing on the sea beach with all the grains of sand, and what knowledge he had. It's just like a few grains of sand compared to the vast number of grains on the beach. And he said that if I've seen further than others, it is because I have stood on the shoulders of great towering personalities before me. Of course, in our Vedic culture, we wouldn't think of that we stand on the shoulders of great personalities. Rather, that's interesting, isn't it? Because the whole approach to gaining knowledge in the Western modern civilization is one of climbing up, trying to climb up and get more and more knowledge, whereas the actual method is to bow down, jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. Bow down at the beginning. No, it's not that you have to become an Einstein or a Newton to realize how little you know. If at the beginning we understand that we don't understand, then we can begin to understand by bowing down at the lotus feet of those who we can acquire knowledge from, and always feel ourselves to be very low. So by the ascending process of getting knowledge, we might come to the level of realizing that I'm very small. But in the Vedic process, the process of allowing or praying for the mercy to come down, in the Vedic process, we, at the beginning, even to enter that knowledge, even to be accepted as a student, one has to be humble. So it's the very beginning. Vidyadadati vinayam. And that's the symptom of someone who actually has knowledge. He becomes humble. Doesn't think I'm so great. But actually does become great in human society, and then it's his duty to take a superior role to teach others. And in this way, the knowledge keeps on flowing down in human society. But who can be a guru? Guru means a teacher. He should teach. The disciple should be, the student should become a teacher. There's so much, who can be a guru? But everyone who learns is supposed to be a teacher, just like everyone who's born, they're supposed to become a parent. Of course, I'm a sannyasi, but I'm fulfilling a different role in society. Sannyasi in the Vaishnava tradition doesn't mean one who runs away from the world, but one who remains in the world to give to the world knowledge of Krishna. So it's just to perpetuate the human race, the child becomes a parent. To perpetuate the flow of knowledge, a student becomes a guru. Whether or not there is initiation, that means a formal induction, but the flow of knowledge, that is the essence of the guru-disciple relationship. And of course, when we're giving knowledge of Krishna, then it's not a matter of book learning or rote learning. Then one has to teach by one's own example. It's not just an intellectual affair. But the knowledge which can be imparted right at the beginning. It's not that you have to go through all the Vedas, study Sanskrit and go through all the Vedas and Nyaya Shastra, Mimamsa, and then come to Vedanta. You can go right, that's Krishna's gift, right at the beginning. He, of course, to Arjuna, he first of all distinguished the body from the soul, but to the knowledge that Krishna is supreme can be given at a very early stage. Even children can be given it. Who will understand? Matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna gives knowledge. He takes away knowledge. We can remember him or not remember him. This is the point. Krishna is, he gives knowledge. We pray to him for knowledge. We should understand that he is the object of all knowledge. And to be knowledgeable of him, and of course to be knowledgeable of him is not just a matter of, again, getting some bhakti shastra degree or any such thing. It's to know him is to love him. And we can know him how bhakti amam abhijanati, by serving him with love. So it's a different approach to knowledge altogether. In the material field, no one can claim to have all knowledge. In the spiritual field also, only Krishna can have all knowledge. Even if you say that Einstein was such a genius in his field, physics, was he a genius in biology? Was he a brilliant cook? Was he a brilliant musician? Was he a brilliant geologist? Was he a brilliant oceanographer? And there are so many fields. If you might excel in one. And even then you only know a little bit about it. No one in this material world can know everything, even about this material world. Even the demigods, whose their capacity for knowing, and Einstein looks like a little child in comparison with the kind of knowledge that the demigods can have automatically. But even their knowledge, muhyanti yat suryaha, they don't know Krishna. They're bewildered by Krishna's energy. Lord Brahma creates this universe, and he oversees everything, and he knows what's going on in this universe to a large extent. But when he arose, he's Padma Sambhava. He was born from the lotus on the navel of Mahavishnu. At that time, he didn't know anything. Didn't know anything. And he was given knowledge. That's the purport of the name we're discussing. He's given knowledge by Lord Vishnu. That knowledge was granted to him. It's specifically the knowledge of how he could create the universe. And he has to understand how it works in order to create it. If you have a whole bunch of car parts and you want to assemble it, you have to understand how, it's not just a matter of put this here, put this there. One has to understand how the car works. And then when you put it all together, you see if it's running properly. To be able to repair a car, and inevitably things go wrong, you have to know how it, you have to know how it works and how everything works all together. So what to speak of the whole universe? Brahma knows so much. But then Krishna says, neither the hosts of the demigods nor the great sages know my origin, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. They cannot even begin to know Krishna. They know so much. Only Krishna can know everything. He's in the heart of Brahma, giving him knowledge. His knowledge is so great compared to ours, but it's Krishna who's giving it. And it's Krishna who removes that knowledge when Brahma becomes bewildered about Krishna and takes him to be just some little boy and doesn't believe for a second that this is Narayana, the Supreme Lord. That also, he's inspired by Krishna. Krishna is the knower in all bodies. Kshetragya chapi mang vidhi. You should know that I am the knower in all bodies. We are kshetragna. We experience our one own body to some extent. That we also don't know everything. how, yeah, I want to move my hand. How the impulse, we're told there's some impulse from the brain and it goes and moves the hands, and we don't know how it's going on. Krishna knows. And he knows what's going on in everybody. In every body. To know the body and its owner is called knowledge. That's called knowledge. Krishna is the knower of every body. He knows our own body and our own minds better than we do. He's the super knower, omniscient, all knowledge. He is addressed by Arjuna, Vetasi Vedyam. He is the knower and that which is to be known. Another meaning of Saha. It's a very big topic, knowledge, right? He is the giver of knowledge. Knowledge is unlimited. How it is given? How psychologists can say, how is it that children learn? How is it that they learn so many things so quickly? Muhyanti yat suryaha. These big psychologists, big scientists, they're like demigods to us, but they also are bewildered in knowing. So we won't pursue that now anymore at this point, because we'll just accept Krishna. He is the one who knows everything. He is the one to be known. He is the one who gives knowledge. It is he. Another meaning, it is he, Saha, who destroys all the obstacles on the path of his devotees. In this material world, there will be so many obstacles, even for devotees, but Krishna destroys them. He's the real Ganesh, in the sense that, well, Ganesh, he's also known as Vignesh, the Lord of obstacles. He destroys obstacles, but how he does that is described in Brahma Samhita. Yat pada pallava yugang vinitaya kumbha. Dvanve pranama samaye saganadhirajaha. Vignan vihanta manamasya jagat trayasya. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma prays, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda. Ganesha always holds the Lord's lotus feet. This is particularly Nrsimhadev. The Lord's lotus feet upon the pair of tumalai protruding from his elephant head in order to obtain power for the function of destroying all obstacles on the path of progress in the three worlds. So Ganesh gets power to destroy all obstacles from the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And the Supreme Lord Vishnu is directly the destroyer of all obstacles on the path of spiritual progress for his devotees. Now, this name, Sah, means he, and that also is pointed out by the commentators to mean that he is easily accessible. He who is sought after by all the Vedas, who is the inscrutable, all-pervading Brahman, he is referred to as, oh, it's he, by his friends, even by little boys, in Vrajadham. Who did that? Who ate that? Who was eating that? It's he. They refer to him. He's there, right among them. He's available to them. He is Krishna. Now another meaning. Now this is morphing into the next name. The next name is Va, but the two names Sa. Well, we have in Vishnu Sahasranam in the verse Sava. So this can be split and taken as two names, Sa and Va. And so far I've been discussing Sa as one name. But if we take Sava to mean one name, then the most obvious meaning, which is taken by Shankaracharya, takes Sava as one, means that he is Sava, literally means that time in the sacrifice, the soma sacrifice, in which soma ras, a particular kind of juice, is offered. So Sava, Shankara takes this to mean that he is the soma sacrifice personified. And Radha Krishna Shastri, a Vaishnav commentator, also takes it with a very similar meaning, that this the soma ras is extracted from the stems of the soma plant. So it's something like sugarcane juice is extracted from sugarcane. And he takes it that just like the inner meaning has to be extracted from everything. Well, just like sugarcane juice is extracted from sugarcane, or the example actually given here is the soma ras is extracted from the soma cane. So instead of just seeing the externals, we should find the inner essence, and that is Krishna. Sava can also mean he who is final knowledge, can be understood like that, which is we've already discussed under Sa. And it also means Sava also means he dwells everywhere. So in this week, there are many names like this we've already been through, Vishnu being the most obvious. Baladev Vidyabhushan, our Gaurya Vaishnav commentator, gives gives another meaning. He takes it as Sava, that he destroys the mistaken idea of duality and non-duality. In other words, instead of trying to insist on absolute non-dualism or absolute dualism, except he is dual and non-dual, both. And also he takes Sava, Baladev Vidyabhushan, who resides among them, means among the devotees, and not those who try to simply philosophically establish conclusions as absolute duality or absolute non-duality. From the Madhva Sampradaya, Vishnu is called Sava, because he is one of the meanings they give. They give meanings, some of which have been discussed. He is the greatest strength which we cannot even begin to imagine. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyavacha. Patita nam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakam padayane patya kripa cha kakushata medhadam. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya dura. Goranga chan.